Always be giving. You are seldom rewarded for what you intended to do. That's true. Always be giving. You're seldom rewarded for what you intended to do. A lot of people, they say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And truly, it is. People say they'd like to do this. They'd like to fix the lawn. They'd like to repair the house. Thank you. They'd like to do different things. And they don't do it. Now, why don't they do it? Because they have other distractions that are taking them away from it. And these other distractions, what are they doing? They're of no account. But just now I got a question to ask of you. Before you do that, I want to talk to you about this here. And, of course, when the talk is over, you never get around to doing what you had intended to do. I mention a lot of things to be done, and we write them down in a book, and we don't get a chance to get to them because we have other things that come along. And we hear what is suggested, and we think, yeah, that's a good thing to do. That's a good thing to do. That's important to do. But then something else comes along that's apparently more important to do. And this is part of our examination work here. I am going to fill all of your lives with so many requests, so many suggestions of things to do. And what are the things that should be done? The things that should be done are the things that I first mentioned, but you say, but they're not as important as the things you later say. You later say, these things should be done, and we shouldn't, you know, we should give our time to doing that rather than anything else. And I say, interesting. If everything you do the best you can, in whatever way you can, follow directions smoothly and quickly and easily, without making a monument out of the job, moving on to the next thing, then all of a sudden you find out, hey, I can do these things that I have intended to do. I can do all those things, and I can get them done. I am never given more task or more difficult a task than I can handle. I've never given anything that is beyond my ability to handle it. Now, John thinks, well, Herb, you're just talking about me because I'm writing down these notes. Or Anita says, Herb, you're just talking about me because I'm writing down these notes. Well, it's true, John. You are the only person on the face of the earth. That's true. Anita, you are the only person on the face of the earth. But of course, Ellen thinks the same thing. Because I give Ellen many, many tasks, many, many suggestions. And she does a few of them. And I give Ingeborg many, many suggestions. And sometimes Ingeborg gets to it, and sometimes she doesn't. I give Sylvia many, many suggestions. And sometimes she does them, and sometimes she doesn't. It depends on what her feeling is at the time, each of you. It depends on what your feeling is at the time, how important you feel whatever it is I ask you to do is. Now, what should you do? Always be giving. You're seldom rewarded for what you intended to do. If you're just always giving, then you never have a problem because everything just comes to you, doesn't it? Always be giving. Now, Sylvia just reached for the toothpicks, and they were just beyond her reach. Now, I took them and held them, and I said, ha, 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 ha. Now, if John were a loving, gentle soul, he would have reached the bowl of toothpicks on his end of the table and handed them to Sylvia. But no, Sylvia wanted the toothpicks that were in front of me. And so, therefore, the thought never entered John's mind about handing her the toothpicks. You see, we can sometimes be so one-pointed, we can be so one-direction, that we don't see the whole picture. We don't see the whole thing. Sylvia, did you want a toothpick from the toothpick holder in front of me, or did you want a toothpick?
I wanted a toothpick.
Well, why did you think that the only toothpicks were available in front of me?
Because that was the only one I could reach without interrupting your talk and asking for one.
Well, why did you think that? Now, Sylvia, I'm going to make a suggestion to you and everybody. What is it that we are working with? And of course, you don't know my answer yet. What is it that we're working with? We are working with thought. Now, all of the things that we intend to do, basically, we're doing them with thought. And if we would just think toothpick, pop, there'd be a toothpick. Remember on my talk 30 years ago? Remember that one? The talk I gave 30 years ago to the Long Beach church? Well, I said in the middle of the talk, I said, our thoughts are things. And when I thought I would like another cup of coffee, at that moment, the waitress in the back of the room came forward to the front of the banquet hall, and she poured coffee in my cup, not anybody else around me, just my cup. And why? Because I thought coffee in my cup. Now, you heard me giving the talk. It was an hour and 10 minutes long. And did anyone want to get up and leave the room?
No.
Did anyone want to, was anyone bored? No? Why not?
Well, it was very vital and interesting.
I was waiting for more.
Why was no one bored?
Because you were not bored.
Because I was not bored. And you see, when you and I always are harmonious with what we're working with, we always have the time to do it. Now, what do they say about a busy person?
If you want to have something done, give it to a busy person.
If you want something done, give it to a person who's very busy, because that person organizes their time. They do not dilly-dally about things. They do not make a monument out of something that's just a little molehill. They move right into doing things, and they just do it and get it done, and it's over with, and ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. And you say, well, if I can work on my own time, if I can do it, hey, you don't have to do things on your own time. There's plenty of time in the hours of the day that we plan to do the things that we want. The whole thing is, are you doing it rightly? Are you using your mind? Or are you just using your body? Sylvia knows that it takes so many minutes to type a full page of copy, 300 words, double spaced. It takes so long. Now, so long as Sylvia has that in her mind, she will say, I have 10 pages of copy to type that's going to take me so many hours, and I won't have time for anything else. Now, so long as Sylvia believes that, she's going to be limited to that. When Sylvia says, it's done, and she does whatever has to be done, or she just said, here, each take a page and type it up, all done. Those are just some suggestions. But what could Sylvia really do? And this is what is important for us to practice and learn here. What Sylvia can really do is to see it done. Now, each task, each job that I give to each one of you, can you see it done? Can you see it complete? When I give it to you, do you see it as already finished? Or do you see it as something to be done? Something that's waiting to be done? You see, so long as you're thinking of it as something waiting to be done, then it's waiting to be done. And quite likely, it'll wait for a long time and maybe never be done. We're learning to use our minds here. We're learning to use our attention. Now, why are the dogs allowed to run around in the house? We allow the dogs to run around the house to see if they can distract us. I'm giving you some very interesting comments here, some very vital comments which lead to your ability to walk on the water, your ability to snap your finger and have things done, your ability to do all sorts of wonderful things. But no, you think that minding the dogs, paying attention to them, is far more important than paying attention to our 10-minute talk or whatever, 10 minutes now, whatever we're doing, is we have to reorganize our thinking patterns. We have to reorganize the awareness of why we're here. Now, if we were to take each dog and kill it, if we were to take each dog and kill it, we would get rid of the 3 distractions, wouldn't we? And then we have 4 cats. So we kill the 4 cats, we're rid of 4 more distractions. And then let's kill the sun. That's a distraction too. And the wind, and the stars, and the moon, and atmosphere, and our bodies. Our bodies are a great distraction. And we allow our bodies to distract us from being one-pointed, and then we wonder why we're not one-pointed. Jesus did not walk on the water. Jesus walked wherever he wanted to. There was no water or non-water. There was no earth or non-earth. There was no levitation, because he wasn't leviting over anything. He was just doing his thing. You see, we have the tendency to write stories about what we're doing, which gives us all the limitations that they are. Now, some people might say, Herb, why are you revealing all these miracles? Why are you revealing all these secrets? It doesn't matter. I can continue telling you the secrets of the universe as I have for years, and you won't hear them. And you won't hear them because you're hearing these puppies running around right now. You're hearing them distracting you. You're hearing them making you be aware of them. You're aware of the sun shining in through the windows. You're aware of the temperature in here being just slightly cool to warm. You're aware of so many different things, but it's so foolish. When you go to visit your guru on the mountainside of the Himalayas, and you walk into his cave or whatever, and you stand there, and you stand there, and you stand there. Everybody else is sitting and listening to the guru speak and learning, and you're standing there waiting for the guru to say, you may join us, sit down. Why do you have to have permission to learn and be aware of who and what you really are? Sit down. If you come in the group, don't make a big fuss about it. You should have been there early enough to not be noticed, you know. But sit down, participate. Don't bring your dog in there. We were in Canada, and this woman brought her dog into the school room, and she sat in the back of the room. Everybody knew she had the dog. The dog wasn't noisy, but everybody knew she had it, because she was totally conscious of that dog. She did not hear one single word I said. She came in, I think it's a paid program, wasn't it? She came in, and she probably paid, but she didn't hear a word. She didn't hear a word. We were down in Australia speaking to the Theosophical Society in Sydney. A wonderful group of people, big hall, wonderful in every way. And this one woman brought a dog in and let the dog walk around introducing itself to everybody while they were listening to me talk. And one of the Theosophical women said, this is unacceptable. We cannot have a dog in this room and do this and that and that. Now, the Theosophical woman was saying something else. What was she saying? Does any of you have the answer?
We cannot have a distraction.
Go on. Go on. Anything that takes our attention away from the program is not permitted in this room. No radios, no television, no cell phones, yeah, no video cameras, nothing that's, because Midge puts the video camera on, people go like this here, you know. You know, they forget all about the talk, and they just are thinking of being videotaped. You can see it. Well, you look at the tape that Ellen has made. And Ellen was doing that primarily because it was a distraction. And we were training those people into being one-pointed. And I gave them a terrific lecture on being one-pointed. And a lot of them got the message. But you know who got the message? The people who were one-pointed on paying attention to me. Not necessarily that what I had to say was so valuable. but they paid attention to me so that if I did say anything valuable, they would get it and they wouldn't be distracted. But during the intermission, the dog was there doing its thing, and then the book sales and so forth like that, and then the tea and the coffee and the stuff like that, all distractions. Did you hear my lecture to the Long Beach group? Mm-hmm. Did we stop for coffee?
Yes.
Did we stop for anything? Mm-hmm. Did I have them stand up in the beginning after they had had their meal? Stand up and da-da-da-da-da-da, and, you know, and then sit down and let's go. And off we went through the races. We had a great time. But you see, I had, well, easily 400 or 500 people in that auditorium because they had a large graduating class and their mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and aunts and uncles and everybody else was there, you know, to see them be hatted and capped. So, I had to take this divergent group, people who were in religious science and people who were not, and bring them all to one accord to hear what I had to say. So I had to make my talk as universally interesting as possible, and yet put across many positive law and of cause and effect ideas. And I did this, and I brought it out powerfully and positively. But you see, people say, well, Herb, you just got up there and rambled along. Rambled along? In that audience, there were people who needed acupressure, acupuncture. There were people who needed treatment. There were people who were hurting very badly. There were people in that audience of some 500 people, 400 or 500 people. All of the people went away from that meeting, totally different people. They didn't know it. But you see, this is going to sound vain, but it's not. They were in my presence. They were in my vibrations. I was their master. I was the one that was in charge of them. I created them there. And I created them whole and perfect. I created them wonderful. You heard me say it several times. I created them fantastic. I created them the master of their world. I created them free of any disease, free of any problems. Now, these things I just subtly drifted in among the various other things that were attention getters. And the attention getters were maintaining their attention, maintaining their interest. Now, why did I have to take over an hour to do that? Because I was having fun. I was having fun. And whenever I can get an audience, I put on a show. I enjoy it. Jesus put on a show whenever he had an audience too. He even fed them, you know, just to keep them around, you know. And Zarathustra, he did too. Remember when the king came to Zarathustra and wanted his wisdom? He says, well, your kingship, here's my teacher. What was it?
A seed.
A seed. And the king says, what? Pooh. And threw it on the ground. Later, he realized the wisdom of Zarathustra and said, please send one of your students, or you please come and teach me. And Zarathustra said, no, I'll send a student. A student to the king? But the king learned. He learned that that seed was within him. And that seed was the knowledge. And then the king went on to have Persia be one of the greatest kingdoms in the world. The richest, most opulent in every way. Now, your kingdom can be rich and opulent too. Always be giving. You're seldom rewarded for what you intended to do. If you intend to listen to me, listen. Let nothing distract you. Where are the dogs now? Hmm? Where's the distraction now?
Gone.
No. The point is, it's not here.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of a sudden, you gave me your full attention for whatever reason. That's kind of nice. Not that I need your attention, but you need to be one-pointed, if you're going to get anything from anything. So, my loves, always be giving. You're seldom rewarded for what you intended to do. And no matter what you're asked to do, you are the busy person who always finds time to do everything and do it quickly, well, and with fun. I love you. Okay.